True disciples. I want to talk about it in a way that, you know, some of the things are going to be extremely simple and straightforward that I discussed this morning, to where it might just be like, either you are or you aren't a disciple of Christ. And I know that's a simple statement. How I like to say it is like, either you're going to the left or you're going to the right. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. There is really no such thing as just standing still in limbo, waiting to see wherever something, whether it's God or the world or, you know, the lottery, will take you. That's just not a thing. Even though we want to seem to think it's a thing, we want to be pushed, pulled, prodded. And yet when we do get pushed, pulled, or prodded, we just fight and kick the whole time when we scream at it and say, "How dare you make me do anything?" And, you know, we have our rights. And yet, so there's this real reality of we're either going one way or the other. You're doing one thing or the other. Thanksgiving, you are either thankful or you're not. Do you know how you could tell if you're thankful or not? It's just a simple question. It's really not a trick one, I promise. I got a couple of trick ones in the bag here, but not that one. Do you know how you could tell you're thankful? Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I wasn't going to go there, but I do like that. You know, there's evidence, like maybe your disposition tells people, "I'm actually thankful. I'm grateful." You know, you're not, "How are you doing today?" "Well, I'm barely making it, but I'm doing all right." You know, like, "Oh, okay, that's a thankful person." Not. So basically, there's just to say this, and I like this because it's, you know, the only, the remedy against thankfulness, gratefulness, is what? Complaining. Let's just gripe. If we gripe about it, we won't be thankful. That's an easy way to not be thankful. Just complain about everything and anything, and you will not be thankful. I promise. It works every time. Hello? Somebody, like, straighten me up and say, "Dude, you got to do the opposite." Come on. I was, like, waiting for somebody to throw something at me. Okay. I don't. Man, you guys are really, are you gullible this morning? I could say whatever I want, and you'll just eat it up. Thank you. No. This is an awesome one. I want you to, if you're a tweeter, then tweet this, because this is tweetable. Yeah. I'm a Gen Xer. I am not millennial. I do not speak millennial. I definitely don't speak Gen Z. That'd be pretty cool, though, to speak Gen Z. I think I'd fit right in. No. Listen to this. All right, Eric, get on with your message. All right, brother. Okay. It's the whole holding the mic in my hand thing. I think I'm not even started yet. I think I'm at, like, something that I'm not supposed to be at. Like, I don't belong here. Yeah. It's throwing me off. So keep me on, guys. Keep me on. Listen to this. We will teach people what we know, but we will reproduce who we are. We will teach people what we know, but we will reproduce who you are. Are you a disciple? John 8:31 and 32 says this. Jesus is speaking. He said, "To the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let me give you a little context in what Jesus is in bringing that message to the people at that very moment, in that Jesus had done something that was just absolutely just unthinkable. And it brought this conversation amongst the religious people and of those that were actually, like, tracking him, following him, wandering around and hearing about this Jesus in town. He does the unthinkable. He forgives a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. See, the Pharisees, they brought this woman that they had caught. I wonder how they caught her in the very act of adultery. We know the story a little bit. They bring this woman to Jesus to test him, say, hey, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law says we must stone her. We must execute her right here, right now. Take matters into our hands and we must stone her. And Jesus doesn't even look up at him and he says, go ahead. But you who are without sin, throw the first stone. And everybody walks away. Everybody leaves the room, the premises. They just scatter quietly, one by one, just walk away. The only one left there is the woman. And he says, woman, what happened? Where are your accusers? Where did they go? I said, I don't know. They just all left. Is nobody left to condemn you? She says, no, they've all left. He says, well, either do I. He says, you are forgiven, go and sin no more. And he says this out loud and publicly in front of people to where they could hear and they could hear what he's saying. And so this promotes a lot of angst, a lot of confusion. Who is this man to be able to forgive sins? And how dare he supersede the law of Moses for his own law, for his own ruling? And it brings up this conversation as Jesus is talking. He talks about them being, in fact, when he says this, by the time he gets to this phrase, and it's talking about those who have chosen to believe in him, because it says that, to the people who have chosen to acknowledge that Jesus is something. Jesus is worth listening to. Jesus could be sent by God. Let's hear, let's listen, let's believe. He says, if you're truly my disciples, then you will hold to my teachings and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What's so interesting after he says that though too, it does something amongst those people that were there listening to this and it actually upsets them. It offended them. Do you know why it offended them? Did anybody know the story? Because he was implying that they were not already free. How dare you? We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone, which is absolutely idiotic because they were in slavery for over 400 years to the Egyptians. It's like, do you forget where you came from? Do you not even have a clue as to where you are right now? So much so that they just like, we haven't been slaves to anybody. How dare you call us and make us seem like we need your freedom? Interesting, huh? I think that what's can be learned from that as we talk about what it is of being a disciple is Jesus was speaking and he still speaks what needs to be said, what needs to be heard, and not just what we want to hear. There's something that I have been, I want to say the wording correctly because I want it to be inspiring to you also as it inspires me to pursue the Lord's voice. Pursue what God is saying, like go after, seek after, actually listen to the Father. I've been just more and more as of lately, I don't know, and it's not like it's like, oh, I never did it before, but my heart, my mind, my soul is inclining itself, and it could be just that as you go farther, if you go closer to God, you just want to hear him more. I'm getting into this realm of like, I just want to stop and listen. I want to listen to what God is saying. I want to hear what the voice of God is telling me. And so, and so much of it is wrapped up in the word of God. But it's also in just the moments of listening to what's happening around me in the midst of people's lives. Jesus saying this, true freedom, and I believe this true freedom is only found in Jesus. True freedom is only found in Jesus. So what is being a disciple? Let me give you a definition. You guys ready? How are you this morning, by the way? You guys know the rules here. If you do have a thought, a question, an inclination, raise your hand and I'll do everything to call on you. says the standard definition of a disciple is someone who adheres to the teachings of another. It is a follower, a learner. It refers to, and you know, to learn, you have to actually be humble. The proud will never learn anything, because why? They already know it all. Yeah. So a disciple is humble, a learner. It refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. And applying it to following Jesus, a disciple is someone who learns from him to live like him. Someone who, because of God's awakening and amazing grace, conforms their words and their ways to the words and ways of Jesus. And we must not forget, please don't ever forget, Jesus even said it. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. If Jesus, you could almost even say that Jesus is the first fruit, he's the first disciple, teaching us to be a disciple, teaching us, showing us, but even deeper than that, and that's what I want to talk about for actually the next few weeks, is what this looks like of being a disciple, simply because there's an empowerment that comes from him in discipleship that you only get from being a disciple. It's almost like you have to be in to get it. It's not that complicated, but yes, we do have to be born again in the club, in the crowd, in the family, whatever it is, to get the benefits of being a Christian. We don't like that message though, do we? Can't I just come and show up and just not join the club? Not that we have membership or we have club membership, because that's the last thing we ever want to do is promote clubbing. That was intentional too. At least I got one chuckle. There you go. That's all right. Jesus listened to God the Father. That's what we need to be about as a disciple, is listening to God the Father, right? And it's the truth that we know that actually sets us free. So it really does encourage us to know the truth. To know the truth. And the truth that we know actually only comes from the one who cannot lie. The one there's no shifting, there's no shadows, there's no change. He is who he is, he is who he was, and he is who he always will be. And he will always tell the truth. God cannot lie. So we are going to get truth from God and only God. That's where we're going to get truth. So be encouraged in this. And when Jesus said this, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. We get that from God and only God. And I think that we can all agree that true disciples have a distinguishing mark. One is that we listen to the Father. I want to share a little bit. As an example of listening to the Father, this last week, I was having lunch, and it's like happens, I think, maybe twice a year, where I sit in a restaurant by myself because I actually have a moment, maybe an hour. And I was over there at Old Town Pizza. I was like in the middle of something. I was like, man, I'm really craving. I was craving and I had the time. I was craving it. Have you ever had their wrap dog? Oh, dude, it's off the hook, delicious. Like, I'm sorry. I like the guys over there at Old Town Pizza. They're friends. The owners are good friends of mine. So I could promote them, and I don't feel bad about it. But I was just craving this thing. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to just go sit there and just sit by myself, take my iPad, do some reading. And I literally was just sitting there just reading. I walked in and was just enjoying the moment and just the time and it was really wonderful. But I was interrupted. I was interrupted by God. Because I walked into this place thinking, I'm going to spend time with me and God. Just me and God. You know, yeah, a server, whatever, in place that was whatever. And it was like, that's what I was doing. And how I was interrupted by God was a situation where there was about three tables over, there was these three servicemen. Obviously, they're in their fatigues. They're obviously from Beale, and so they were just sitting there. And three service people, because one was a woman. Did I say that? a service per, anyway, they're in the military. So, and I hear the voice of the Lord saying, pick up their bill. I'm like, oh, you know, okay, that's like, well, yeah, but the, yeah, everybody thinks, oh, pay for the police, pay for the service, you know, pick up, and it's like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, whatever, okay, yeah, it's like, all right. And I like him hot and like, no, I'm just, you know, like, ah, whatever, they're fine, you know, they don't need it. You know, I had all these excuses and I started coming up with these like, you know, arguments as why I didn't need to do it. And it's like, ah, well, no, pick up their bill. Like, ah, oh, okay, all right. And then they get their bill already. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I missed it. Sorry, I was just too slow. It's like, oh, bummer. Darn it. So they get their bill. But here's what happens is the server hands the bill to one of them. And she hands it back and says, hey, can you split this up and divide it up? And she goes, oh, yeah, sure. So it goes back to the server. Like, oh, crap. It's like, okay. So I'm like, come over here. She goes, say, hey, just give me their bill, the whole thing. And she's, oh, okay. So I was like, okay. And so I did it. And when I got their bill, I was like, wow. I was like, it was less than mine. I kid you not. It's like, I was like, that's not right. That's only for one of them. They go, oh, no, they all got this special lunch, the lunch special, and we give them a discount. Like, wow, man, these guys are smart. These, man. So I just pay it, take care of it. But here's what's happened, and this is where I want you to, this is, as a disciple, I want you to hear what happened, because that was like, okay, I obeyed the Lord. Yay, me. But here's what happened is, because I want to share this as a disciple, and this is where it gets challenging, is almost right as that happened, the server, because I could hear everything that's happened, they're not that far away, the server says, hey, somebody took care of your bill, and they're like, oh, wow, wait, that's great, thank you, and they started looking around, and right as that happened, an older guy and his wife walked up to them and patted them on the back and said, hey, thank you guys for your service. And they turned to him and said, oh, and thank you. I'm not kidding. Exactly like that. And I just like, so here I have this conversation in my head. And this now God's out of this now, because I was like, so I obeyed, I did my part, now this is me. Like, so, wait, just a minute, it gets better, because I'm having this conversation, well, how can I get the credit for that? I did that. So I'm like, I had all these little things, hey, I'll go up to him and say, hey, guys, I took care of the tip too, you know. That wouldn't be bad, would it? Oh, that would be all right to say, so they would know that it was me, right? And then Matthew chapter 6, the voice of God through the word of God comes through and says, do your good deeds, not to be seen by men, not to be seen and noticed, so you could pat yourself on the back and say, look what I did. But do it in secret. Let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. And your Father in heaven will reward you. And that's where I was like, wow. I was listening to the voice of God. Because the voice of God came through so powerfully and strong. And it stopped me from being me. Stopped me from doing something for my glory, my credit, my honor. And it was just obedience. And I just walked out of the restaurant and walked out without a single word to them. And I always will thank the servicemen. And I made sure not to, so that they wouldn't confuse me with, I just let them thank that old guy. And I know this is, how many of you are challenged with that very thing? How many of you tip the person at Starbucks only when they're looking? Oh, really? Just one? Okay, yeah, you'll make sure that they see you put it in when you're looking, right? when it's got the tip jar out. Okay, maybe not Starbucks. Maybe any place that has a tip jar. You want to make sure they see you put it in. No. And he's telling us this is what disciples do. They obey God to the fullest. Not just partly, but all the way. And so this is why when we talk about listening to the Father, we're going to find that there's distinguishing traits. There's distinguishing traits on a disciple of Christ. It's not a pat on the back, look what I did, but it's there's something about us that ought to be recognizable to the rest of the world as disciples of Christ. Correct? Right? Can we all agree with that? Right? We're on the same page. Good. And I'm going to talk about these three traits that disciples ought to possess. But this is focusing more on who we are than what we do. So let's talk about these three traits of a disciple that I think are pretty awesome as we discuss this. And some of us, I believe that we all need to hear these in this very room. A disciple is a worshiper. A disciple is a worshiper. It is very natural to worship who you love. That's actually a natural response. That's the natural reaction. That's the natural move, is to worship what you love. Worship who you love. That's why it's, as a disciple, as a worshiper, it's natural for us to raise our hands. It's natural for us to bow at God's feet. It's natural for us to lift his name up and say, "Thank you, Jesus," in the middle of a crowd. It's natural for us to praise God for the good and praise God for the difficult. That's natural. In other words, that's the thing that comes with being a disciple, is to worship him. We are naturally worshipers. Jesus said it like this when he was talking to the woman at the well: for God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And right before that, he says that God is looking for the Father. The Father is looking for worshipers who worship him like that. God is actually looking. Just think about that. Let's take the reality of that truth, that very thing that we could, that truth of God, Father God, his eyes, who he sees all, is looking for worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro, looking to whom he may instill within him his spirit. So here's what, isn't this, this is a natural move to worship him, to thank him, because even in that we get God's full attention. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm at a place in my life that I want God's full attention. I'm no longer running and hiding and trying to avoid God. And I think that's what a disciple is also. It's like, God, don't find me back over here. God, you know, that's not what a disciple is. A disciple says, God, I'm right here. Do you see me? And that's the natural move of a disciple. Yeah, that's a little convicting, isn't it? That's like, wait, I don't know if I go that far. Do I want God to see me everywhere and at all times? Well, let me clue you in. He does already. Listen to this. Nothing will irritate our pluralistic society more than being an exclusive worshiper. Lots of people are cool with Jesus, right? Or at least the notion of him. And even following his ways, that's good. That's good for you. Like, what's the most popular phrase that you hear right now? You do you, I do me. Right? You could say that and everybody's like, oh, okay, you just put me in my place. I'll stay over here and you stay over there, right? We just have to let people do them and we do us, right? I have such an issue with that. That's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother message, because it's like, is that what disciples do? Let you do you while I do me. Absolutely not. But you know what? And that's what Jesus didn't do either. Wait, aren't we followers of Jesus? Yes, I think we still are. Yes. So here's, you know, where the world is so cool with Jesus being a good moral teacher, a nice guy. Oh yeah, why? That's right, because he's the one that actually originally said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." We get reminded of that all the time, don't we? Yeah. Even a good motivational speaker, he even said stuff like, "It's better to give than receive." That sounds really good. You don't even have to be a follower of Jesus to make that sound good. But Jesus actually demands our undivided worship. Jesus actually demands our undivided worship. Do you remember when he said it? You will either follow, you will either love one or the other. You will either love God or you'll love money. Or actually mammon, which is a form of worldly control, power, money, lust, greed, all those things. The commandment that is still the greatest is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen. A disciple is a servant. This is the second of these traits that I want to discuss. Jesus showed us. He washed his disciples' feet, didn't he? He got down and he took off his robe, put on a servant's attire to actually wash the disciples' feet, serving them and showing them by example. And then he told them this when he was done. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And then he says it one statement later. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Now that you know to serve one another as I have served you, God will bless you for doing them. To be a disciple of Jesus means that we serve like he served. It means to serve primarily in seeing your brothers and sisters and going low in acts of love, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's uncomfortable, and even when it makes you look like you're a nobody. That's what a disciple does. That's what a disciple does. Even just the other day when we had the memorial here, and at the end of it, and I was scurrying around helping clean up, and I was taking out all this trash, and all this nasty trash was dripping on me, and I was taking it out and putting it in my pickup so I could take it to the dumpster, and I think one of the people that were there that were not a part of our fellowship looked at me, and they said, "Aren't you the minister? Aren't you the pastor here?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Why are you taking the trash out?" I'm not joking. That happened. Like right out there, right outside those doors. I don't know why. I guess because it needs to be done. Because that's what disciples do. There's nobody. That's why I'm against a special parking spot. But that's okay. A disciple, I'm going to get the third one because I want to get through this. This is really good. Is a witness. A disciple is a witness. Now, I want this can be, let's just stop for a moment. Because I want to tell you guys something about me, if you don't already know this or not. But whenever I get compelled, pushed, prodded to actually be in front or share or speak out, I get really scared and I get really, I try to find excuses and reasons not to do that. And yes, I know I have to show up here every Sunday because I'm the pastor, so I know that's what the joke is, right? So I get this. I get this idea and this concept that's really like, it makes me nervous. It makes me even a little bit angst. I'm like, it bothers me when I hear that, like, oh, a disciple is somebody who's got a witness. You know, and my brother Matt, you know, I know that you guys all know that he got actually arrested for witnessing at the mall, which was really awesome. He's somebody that I look at him as like, he doesn't care what you think about him. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. And that's awesome. Not me. I'm like, do I have to say it? Do I have to? Like, you've heard me. I get into arguments with God when he wants me to do something. Yes, I'm your pastor. I'm normal. I that's me. So when I talk about this as being a disciple, being a witness, I want to get to something that's really, really clear. And it's really real. And it's John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said it. And again, he said this. This was after he rose from the dead. He went to his disciples and he said these words. And I think they're so awesome. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace is the opposite of fear and trembling. Peace is the opposite of terror. Peace is that thing that can only happen inside of you, that God does. It's a peace within you that says, I am his, and I want him to be known. It's a peace that he gives us. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We need to have that peace be with us first. I'm not going to stand up here and say, come on, let's go witnessing at the mall. Let's go sharing Jesus on the street corners, on our soapbox, and preach until people throw stuff at us. Because then we're we're suffering for the gospel, right? I'm not going to do that because I don't think that's what it's about. When we as a witness, he's saying, peace be with you. Go as the Father has sent you, I am sending you. Listen to the Father. Listen to the Father, and the opportunities and the places that God will put you in will be a place to witness and be a witness. I think there's a simplicity in sharing the good news with others is wrapped up in this freedom to be ourself. And we only get that from the peace of God. Do you know what it is, really? Just be you. Be genuine. See, if it's about teaching others what you know, see, that's where we get like a little off. We think, oh, for me to go witness, to me to be a witness, I got to have all the right answers. I got to know what I'm talking about. As soon as you go that route, you are putty in the hands of the enemy, because he will make you, because you're going to run across. You will bump into somebody that's smarter than you. You will run across somebody that is looking for a way to make you look stupid as a Christian. The enemy is very real and very active, and he's lying to people all the time. So you don't have to have all the right answers, but you do have to just simply be you. Be genuine. Be genuine. That's what the world's looking for. That's what confused people, lost people are looking for, is genuine followers of God. Genuine, authentic followers of God. So when we're out there being a witness, the only simple solution to fear is peace and genuine, authentic relationship. A relationship with a loving, living God that saved my soul, that pulled me out of a pit that I don't deserve to walk in this world. In fact, this very next breath that I'm sharing with you is because he gave it to me. And when we are genuine and authentic with God the Father and with the world around us as God, and we're listening to the Father, we're going to hear moments, we're going to listen to the things that God might want us to share, might want us to say to others. Kind of like even, and yes, it'll be, and sometimes it'll just be things like picking up a bill for somebody and just stepping off to the side and letting God do it, letting God do something, let God figure it out. So here's where a disciple is a good listener. A good listener. You know what a good listener does? Listens. That was really tricky, huh? We actually listen. I care enough about you to listen. I care where you're at to listen. You know what a bad listener looks like? I can't wait till you stop talking so I could tell you what I did. Oh, is that, wait. Oh, you're going through, oh, well, my day was worse. Let me tell you about my day. You think your life was bad? Let me tell you about my life, huh? I can one-up you any given moment. That's not what a good disciple and a good listener does. Your experiences matter, but a good listener as a disciple is listening for an opportunity to share the love of God. So it's about not making it about you, but it's about making it about God's love in their lives. We all know somebody like that, right? Hello? I'm talking about good listeners. You went with the other one, huh? No. Ralph? Yeah. Amen. I like that. Ralph says it, and I love it. And it's kind of Ralph's MO. We're told to be a witness and witness all the time, and when we have to, use our words. Amen. Yes. A true disciple is genuinely concerned for others' eternal destination. See, it's the love of God that we have tasted and seen that it is good. And it's that love of God that compels us to share it with others. It's that love of God that we know and we've experienced ourselves that compels us to want to share it with others. You don't have to have all the right answers. In fact, don't go there. Don't go there. Please don't go there. But please be genuine. And be it when you're a genuine witness, it speaks so much louder. So much louder than putting people in their place and telling them where they're off and where they need to get right. Because see, here's the thing, and I'll say this again, and then we'll pray. And I love this, if we can get the worship team back up here. That phrase I said at the beginning is so rich and so true. It says, we will teach others what we know, but we will reproduce who we are. Who we are. I don't know how many fathers I've challenged in raising their children with that very thought. That phrasing says your children are only going to become who you are. You could tell them all the things to do, all the things that they shouldn't do, but they will become just like you. And that's the best way to teach your children to grow up in the ways of the Lord. Follow them yourself. Amen.